Welcome to American Mosaic from VOA Learning English. I'm June Sims. Today on the show, we play new music from country music star Jennifer Nettles. We also visit a museum where art and science help tell the story of human evolution. But first, we hear about some heroic Americans. Americans who received the highest honor for bravery from the U.S. military gathered in Knoxville, Tennessee this week. They attended the first showing of a documentary film on the history of the Medal of Honor. But these American servicemen and women also recognize bravery among civilians. For several years now, Medal of Honor winners have been awarding Citizen Medals of Honor. The medal recognizes acts of bravery and service in communities around the country. Anna Mateo reports.
On a snowy day in Arlington National Cemetery, living Medal of Honor winners gather to recognize service members killed in the line of duty.
Thank you for inspiring us then and now with your strength, your will, and your heroic hearts.
And later at the White House, their numbers increase as a group of veterans from past wars receive the medal for their own bravery. But they also took some time to recognize non-military bravery. They honor a group of ordinary citizens for their heroic actions in the face of danger.
Swimming back to the beach became difficult, if not impossible, for some of the others. And I realized that because of my junior lifeguard training, how to recognize this, we were in a riptide.
19-year-old Connor Stoats risked his own life to rescue three friends from drowning in California in 2011.
The thought never even crossed my mind that I would just swim back to shore without them.
Do you consider yourself a hero?
I know this is something that everyone would say, sir, but I don't consider myself a hero. I would consider myself, I hope, more as an example.
8 years ago, the Living Medal of Honor recipients established an award for average people who demonstrated bravery, sacrifice, and service.
A very caring person, loved to teach, and that he loved his kids, loved his family.
Sharon Lansbury remembers the love of her life, Michael. The mathematics teacher saved students' lives at a shooting at a Nevada middle school last year. The 12-year-old shooter killed Michael Lansbury. He became the first citizen to be awarded the honor after death.
I know my husband would do it over again if it happened again. It's just who he was. He would put his life to protect those that he loved.
Ronald Rand heads the Medal of Honor Foundation. He says the award is about selfless service.
Everyone could be one of those heroes. And if, in fact, everybody knew that, recognized that, and looked for ways to perform those acts, our society would be a truly wonderful team of people focused on the right values and the right outcomes.
The Citizen Medal of Honor recipients say they hope their acts of bravery and service will move other ordinary people to help those in need and make a difference in their communities.
A popular exhibit at the National Museum of Natural History in Washington explores human evolution. The exhibit includes lifelike representations of ancient primates, or hominids, the early versions of us. Paleo artist John Gerchy creates a world that modern humans can relate to.
It does look like our ribs.
The Hall of Human Origins is crowded with visitors. They study five life-size bronze models. The models show what scientists believe ancient everyday life looked like, starting millions of years ago. In one representation, a Homo erectus struggles to carry a newly killed antelope. Another model shows a Homo floresiensis, surprised by a deadly animal. This look at Homo floresiensis is set about 18,000 years ago. John Gerchy also created the models of hominid heads found in the exhibit. The artist is an expert in prehistoric subjects and ape and human body structure.
Really, to succeed in doing one of these reconstructions, it has to be something you can relate to as a living being that you almost expect to see breathe. And you also have to base it on the best science available, or else you really have just a fantasy.
Mr. Gerchy brings faces from the past to life. He starts with the plaster form of a skull. He adds layers of clay and sculpts a face. He covers the work in silicone and adds details and color to the face. He also attaches hair, one single piece at a time. He says what makes the pieces seem so real, though, are the eyes.
I'm trying to build up an impression that there's someone home. When you look one of these things in the eyes, you feel that there's someone there. There's some presence. Because it really feels like it's more than just clay and plaster. Hopefully people will be a little bit creeped out by the final result because they're expecting to see an inanimate object, but what they're seeing is something that has a little bit of a soul.
The bronze sculptures capture the moments of the major changes in human development. Visitors follow their ancestors' footsteps as they move from model to model. They get to see a moment in which early hominids first walked on 2 feet. Visitors observe as brains get larger, fire is discovered, and early humans look for food and react to danger.
Human evolution, as revealed by the fossil record, is not just a matter of everything we think of as human sort of evolving in tandem together. It's much more of a mosaic affair where different things are added at different times. So each species that's a candidate for human ancestry has its own piece of the puzzle, the human puzzle that it added to the mix.
Another representation shows a private family moment in Neanderthal life. John Gerchy has created a young child watching his mother as she works with an animal skin. The boy's head is turned a little to the side and up, as if he is questioning something.
He's got a piece of skin also, and he's wondering, you know, about what she's doing and whether he should do the same thing. He's got kind of a quizzical tilt of his head, and she is sort of responding to him with a lot of joy, and hopefully you can see some encouragement there in her expression.
These are not emotions that Stacy Weinberg would usually link to humans that lived 70,000 years ago. Ms. Weinberg is visiting the exhibit with her 2 children.
We tend to think that we've evolved more and are, I guess, more intelligent than people that long ago, but it's cute because it's a very similar position to one that we might be in today.
That is the connection John Gerchy seeks in his work with our human relatives long past. Jennifer Nettles is famous as the lead singer of the 2-member country group Sugarland, but now she has released her first solo album. It is called That Girl. Jonathan Evans has more.
A friend gave me your number to tell you watch your lover's tracks. See, I always kind of liked you, so I a good chance by the time you hear this, the story's gonna say that I came on to him, but it was never quite that way. I knew he was good looking, maybe too good to be true, but when he kissed me in that alley, I could tell it was you. I don't wanna be that girl with your guy to fool you, make you cry, wreck it up.
Jennifer Nettles spent the past 4 years working on the record. She says she needed to take a break from Sugarland. She says she needed freedom to move in a new musical direction.
I approached the desire to do a solo project like I do most anything that feels like a big life change. You know, I approached it with focus and with planning.
The 39-year-old Nettles included one cover song in her new album. She was just 12 in 1986 when musician Bob Seger had a hit with his recording, Like a Rock.
Stood there boldly, sweating in the sun. Felt like a million, felt like number one. Had a summer. Never felt that strong like a rock. I was 18, didn't have a care. Working for peanuts, not a dime to spare. But I was lean, solid everywhere like a rock. Hands were steady, my eyes were clear and bright. My walk had purpose, my steps were quick and light. And I held firmly to what I felt was right, like a rock.
Jennifer Nettles worked with pop singers Sarah Bareilles and Richard Marx on some of the other songs on That Girl. Philip Sweet of the band Little Big Town and Better Than Ezra band member Kevin Griffin also worked on the album.
I sat down at my piano and I called old friends and I, you know, made new friends and all those things just to see from a writing perspective what would come together and what kind of collection I would make.
A little kiss of freedom, I've forgotten how that tastes. A little room for breathing. And then you're on your way. There's a million little reasons for this smile on my face. Without those tears in my eyes, I bet you'd hardly recognize me. Without you, well, you left the cage door open and your pretty bird just flew and died. The sky could be this blue. I can't believe it's real. So this is how it feels, me without you.
I'm June Sims. Our program was written and produced by Katie Weaver. Do you have a question about American life, people, or places? Send an email to learningenglish@voanews.com. We might answer your question in a future show. Join us again next week for American Mosaic from VOA Learning English.
Without you, will you